Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to this evening's Thanksgiving Eve service. It's good to be with you here as the family of Calvin Church. I'm Pastor Bob Drenton. I know many of you by name and by face, and it's a blessing to be able to be with you this evening and to thank our God together for His faithfulness through this remarkable year. This is a year that we will never forget. We have seen so many things, so many unusual things and hard things and difficult things and clumsy things. And it's a year that we will talk about, I'm guessing, for a long, long time. When we talk about that, let's remember to talk about God's faithfulness in all of it. It has been God who has seen us through this year. It is God who knew the challenges we would face as we began this year. It is God who has held us by His hand and has seen us to this point in our lives in this year. He is our eternal God, our eternal Savior. That will never change. And we are so deeply loved and blessed by that love because we are children of God. Would you stand as you hear the words of welcome from our great God and Savior? Family of God, children of God, people of God, may grace and peace be yours from God your Father, from Jesus Christ our Savior, through the work and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you join with me in this responsive reading, our call to worship from Psalm 100? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
Thank you.
be seated. The things that we name in that hymn that we just sung tonight, the gifts of God, are the things that we'll be drawing our attention to this evening, beginning with the beauty of the earth, savoring what's around us, the beauty of the earth. Let's listen together to God's word from Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters into the sea, of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse's vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth, gathering the waters of the sea into jars and putting the deep into storehouses. The earth is the Lord's. That's what we remember on Thanksgiving. The earth is the Lord's. This is here. We are here. The stars are here. The creatures of God are here, all because of the authority of his word. We remember in thanksgiving that this belongs to God. This comes from God. And not only that, all of this and all of us are loved by God. God didn't make everything, call it good, and send it on its merry way to see what would happen. Do you know God loves you? Do you know in all of the things that you face, in all of the events and experiences of your lives, that you're not alone in all of those things, that God loves you? And God has given us a wonderful creation to enjoy. A creation that God says, when we look at it, speaks of his glory, tells us of his majesty, reveals his wisdom. So when we see the things in creation that we call beautiful, we're not seeing things that we simply appreciate, but we're seeing something of what God is showing us of himself, something of his splendor, something of his goodness, something that he himself enjoys and calls good. We give thanks this evening for the things that we can and do enjoy in God's creation, in His world. In the Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day 10, we read a teaching about the providence, the care of God. And these are beautiful words that echo the promises and teaching of Scripture. What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty, never-present power of God by which He upholds as with His hand heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. How does it help us to know this? We can be patient when things go against us. We can be thankful when things go well. And for the future, we have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing can separate us from His love. All creatures, all of us, are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. These are the promises and blessings of God. Let's pray to our Father now. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Christ our Lord, to You we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the rain, and the harvest, and the flowers, and the mountains, and the prairies, the birds, the leaves, for paychecks and clothing and shelter and tasty food, for every way that we experience Your care and enjoy Your beauty. Father, we say thank You. And help us always to remember that our world belongs to God, that this is Your kingdom. For this we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. These are the sights of God's creation for us to enjoy. Children of God, that's our home. That's the home that God made for us to enjoy. What are you thankful for? What can you name that you're thankful for in the home, this creation that God has given us? For the wonder of each hour, let's listen together to Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Friends in Christ, think about all the things that not only the shepherds heard and saw, but all of the things that Mary heard and saw, the things that she treasured up and pondered in her heart. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary suddenly to be face to face with Gabriel and then to hear these strange words from Gabriel that she somehow was highly favored of the Lord? She was just this ordinary young woman, so highly favored that the Lord was choosing her to be the mother of our Savior. Imagine what it was like for Mary to live through the scrutiny and scandal of that pregnancy. Surely the neighbors thought Joseph or someone else was the father. Joseph didn't want to embarrass Mary, you remember that, and was going to divorce her quietly, set her aside from their engagement. Imagine how awkward that was for Mary. Imagine how hard to be told that in the middle of her pregnancy, actually toward the end of her pregnancy, they would have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem because some Caesar in Rome decided it was time to count noses. And so they did. And the only place for them in Bethlehem was a stable where Mary gave birth, and a manger, a feed trough, where she laid her baby son to rest. Imagine what Mary thought as these shepherds came to visit and adore this son of hers. And again, the story that Mary and Joseph heard of angels announcing this great birth, exploding the night sky with the glory and light of God, and the song of glory of God's victory. Mary had a lot to think about. Mary was thinking about all of the work of God, all of the ways that God, through these events, was accomplishing his purposes through her life. And of course, Mary has a very special place in the history of all that God has done to bring us back to himself. that Mary treasured up all of these things and remembered them and pondered them in her heart tells us this, that these things were not easy to make sense of. They weren't easy to understand. There were more questions than answers. But that she kept thinking about them and running them through her mind and heart also says this: Mary sensed that these things were important, that these things were the things of God. And somehow they mattered. Somehow, by making sense of them, Mary would understand more clearly the blessing that God was bringing into the world through all of these things. Why am I talking about this? For this reason. We've been through a year ourselves, and more than a year, we've been, some of us, through, well, all of us, through decades of life in this world. God has been at work in our lives too. And when we look back on the road that we've walked through our lives, we can identify milestones. Things that were important, things that changed our lives, things that built our lives, things that affected and impacted our lives. And God calls us to recognize these things, these milestones in our lives and in this past year, not as random events, but as things that God is using to shape Christ within us. Things that God is doing so that we become more and more the people He calls us and wills us to be, the people He saves us to be. And we think about our lives in the light of this word, this gospel. How is God fitting our story into His story? How is God fitting our story into His story? God calls us to treasure up all of these things, the wonder of each hour of our lives, and ponder them in our hearts. So that we grow in our understanding of what God is doing in us. Be thankful. Be thankful. Your life matters. Your life matters to God. And who you are and what you've done and what you've experienced, all of it God is using for His purposes. Let's pray. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, Christ our Lord, to You we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. We thank You for the experiences You've given us over the past year. Some have brought us joy. Some have opened our eyes to new dimensions of life. And again, Father, there are some things about this year we will never forget. Some things have been tough. We and our neighbors endured a drought this year that was worrisome and crippling and distressing. Some of our neighbors this year were forced to put down their herds instead of bringing them to places where they could be butchered and slaughtered for food. We have been trying to know how best to live in the middle of a pandemic. And that very thing has not been easy on us. Opinions and decisions have separated us, isolated us, divided us, put us at odds with one another. This has been a tense year. But Lord, in the wonder of each hour, in the times that we hope we never forget, and through those times that we wish we would never have to remember, in all of it, Lord, you've been faithful. Even in the loss of those who have been dear to us, Lord, you've been faithful. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for each of these moments and for being present with us in each one, speaking and providing each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Savoring loved ones, the joy of human love. We listen to God's word from Ephesians 1. I'm going to begin at verse 11, not verse 15, but I'll catch up to verse 15. In Jesus Christ we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of His will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. And I read that all ahead of this because it tells us how we become children of God. That we become children of God, and as children of God, we become the family of God. So, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Every one of Paul's letters begins on a note of thanksgiving. First, he says, grace and peace to you. Regardless of the circumstances, he may be giving joy for the Philippians or he may be grumpy at the Galatians, but he always begins with those words of grace and peace, and he usually gives thanks. He gives thanks to God, first of all, for the gift of Jesus Christ through whom we have salvation, but then he also gives thanks for people. He gives thanks for people. Not just because people can do things for him, he just gives thanks for the fellowship of people and the fellowship within which God has placed each of us in the church. He gives thanks for that. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And when you count your blessings, you can name cars and crops and money, whatever else comes to mind. Do you give thanks for people? I hear boys and girls say that quite often, that they give thanks for mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and teachers and even pastors sometimes. They give thanks for people. Grandpas and grandmas and moms and dads give thanks for their children. It's less common for me to hear thanks for brothers and sisters. It's always thanks for parents or thanks for children, but never thanks for brothers and sisters. Well, I shouldn't say never. Do you give thanks for people? Do you give thanks for the family of Calvin Church? Your brothers and sisters in Calvin Church? That's the example that the Apostle Paul gives us. That's the encouragement that we can notice in God's Word from God for each other, that we should be giving thanks for each other as brothers and sisters. Not because we can do things for each other, not because people can serve us or make us better off, but just for their company, just for their encouragement, just for the companionship. The first time that God said, of all of the things that He made, that something is not good, it was because Adam was alone. It's because Adam was alone. You give thanks for people? Count your blessings includes noticing and giving thanks for the brothers and sisters around us, the people that God has given to us. He's given us to each other to share the life that God has given us to live, to share the work that God has given us to do, to be there for each other, to pray for each other, to bless each other, to love each other. It's one of God's greatest gifts. It's one of God's greatest gifts. The greatest of all, of course, is the gift of His fellowship to us. But the joy of human love, of sisters and brothers in the family of God, for this, let's give thanks. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Lord, to you now we lift the names of those who are precious to us. We thank you for these. Lord, we thank you for these who have been sources of deep encouragement to us in this past year. Thank you, Lord, for these people that we name to you now in silent prayer. We thank you tonight, Lord, for those whom we have been privileged to serve, those who have been blessed and benefited from our help. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless and help these as we lift their names to you in prayer. Father, we also confess tonight that our relationships with one another are not what they ought to be. You call us to love, but we withhold love. And too often, our relationships become strained and awkward, and sometimes, Lord, even broken. But we come to you tonight with hearts of thanksgiving, remembering your promise to reconcile, to fix relationships that are beyond our fixing, to be able to forgive sins that are beyond our ability yet to forgive. We thank you for that, and we lift now these strained relationships to you in silent prayer. For the gift of human love, Christ our Lord, to you we raise our hymn of grateful praise. Amen. Savoring Christ, the best gift divine. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. Paul here is talking about stewardship. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Friends in Christ, Paul ends by reminding us that God, out of his generosity, not measuring how much he could give, but out of his love, giving everything he had, gave us this indescribable gift of our salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He set us free. We have everything we need for life from our God, and we have a relationship with God that we can trust forever. And that frees us to bless others. That frees us to know that God will use us and whatever we do and whatever we give in his name to bring glory to his name and his blessing to our neighbors. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What gifts has God given you? What gifts has God given you? Think about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What sin has God forgiven that just amazes you? What uncertainty do you face in which God has given you courage and hope? What an amazing gift that is to be able to face the future in the confidence of knowing that we do that in the strength and life of God. How has God blessed you? And how has God made you a blessing to other people in this past year? Let's pray. For yourself, best gift divine to the world so freely given, agent of God's grand design, peace on earth and joy in heaven, Christ our Lord, to you we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Lord, we thank you for blessings in this world around us, for the richness of moments and experiences. We thank you for the blessings of people, all wonderful gifts. But now we give our most heartfelt gratitude for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Words simply cannot express our thanks. We love you, Lord, because you have blessed us with your love. Amen. You have a leaf? Maybe you've been taking notes already, but on your leaf, you're asked to think about the blessings that you have experienced in this past year. What is it for which you can thank God? Let's take time to write those things here and prepare to bring them forward, to present them as an offering of thanks with our gifts and offerings. Thanks be to God. Lord, we pray now that you would accept our gifts of thanks and gratitude for you. Help us, Lord, to ponder in our hearts the things that we should treasure up to recognize your work in our lives, to give you thanks for the people around us and the fellowship that you give us together as we walk our path of discipleship until you bring us home. We thank you for the beauty of this earth, for the glory of the skies, for the promise of your care, and for the end of this day. Father in heaven, bring to our minds and hearts often how deeply and faithfully you do love us. Accept our thanks to the glory of your name. We lift this prayer to you in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. To this let all God's people say, Amen.